two different uses. Wasn't on? Huh? Who's down? So we're starting over now from scratch? Okay. By the two dots, mayim kedei losha pehanas akilar. So the Mishnah had said that water that you use for that you use to make a paste, to make a salve to put on your eye, that water makes you, if you carry out that amount of water, you're chayav on Shabbos. It's a very small amount of water. It's much less than a revius. It's much less than what you normally would use for drinking. So Amar Abaya, Abaya says michti. Let's see if you look at it. It's very interesting that all these shiurim. So it says, kol milsa de shchicha v'lo shchicha. If any one of these products is shchiach and not shchiach, meaning as a normal use and a not normal use, as we're going to see, like wine, for example. Wine, people use it to drink. It's very normal. But to use it for a set, to use it to make a paste, that's not so normal. So we'll see in a minute. So, as the Rabbanan, basar de shchicha, the Rabbanan always followed the more shchiach use, the lekula, even if that will result in a kula. Shchicha v'shchicha, if it has a use, both, it can be used for both types of things. It's different types of uses, and both of them are considered 100% normal. Then, as the Rabbanan, basar de shchicha l'chumra, the Rabbanan will go l'chumra. So yayin, for example, so first of all, this is another raya, what we said yesterday, Sunday, that the shiur for liquids were not halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Because you see over here, the chacham are on their own making up what they think is shchiach and not shchiach. There's no uniform shiur. Unlike we said, by food, it's all a grogris. At harsira, the chacham were given the right to do this. They didn't just do it on their own. It was given to them to decide what the shiur should be. So yayin, wine, shdiyaso shchicha, it's normal to use wine to drink. That's a normal use. Rufuaso lo shchicha, it's not so usual to use wine for medicine. Why? Rashi says you could use other things. Wine's very expensive. So wine, that's not a normal use. So also Rabbanan basa de shdiyasa, the Rabbanan went after the normal use of drinking, the shchicha, because it's normal. Lakula, even though that resulted in the kula, because the shear is kos, which we said is a quarter of a revius. That's pretty big, as opposed to the tiny amount that you're going to use to make the paste for your eye. Chalav, milk, achilaso shchicha, to drink it, that's a normal use. Rufuaso lo shchicha, it's not so normal to use milk for refuah. So therefore, azra rabbanon basar achilaso lakula. The rabbanon went after the normal use, and which is a shear that you use for a swallow, even though that results in a kula. Now, dvash, honey, achilasa shchicha, rifuasa shchicha. Dvash, both uses are completely normal. Therefore, azal rabbanan basa rifuasa l'chumra. The rabbanan followed the shear for honey, which will result in a chumra. Because since they're both normal uses, people use it for food and they use it for medicine. Medicine's a smaller shear, because all it is an amount just to put on a wound, on a blister like we had yesterday. So that shear is smaller. That's the shear that the Chachamim use. So that all makes sense. I don't think that's not controversial. Ela mayim, but what about water? Water is mikti. Shtiyaso shchicha. It's normal to use it to drink, obviously. Rufuaso lo shchicha. It's not so normal to use it for medicine. Rashi says, because you have other things that are even cheaper, believe it or not. For example, a woman's milk. That also will serve the function of to make it into that paste. So when it comes to drinking or refuah, drinking is very normal. Refuah is not so normal for water. So therefore, shouldn't the shear? So my taima, azla rabbanan basar refuah l'chumra. So when it comes to water, why did the Chachamim all of a sudden jump to the shear that you use to make a paste for your eyes and go l'chumra? Why didn't they say it's an amount of drinking, which is l'kula? Why did they do that? So the Gemara answers, Amar Abaya. Abaya answers, Bigalila Shanu. This Mishnah, which gives a very small shear for water, was taught in the Galil. This Mishnah was taught in the Galil. And Rashi explains in the Galil they were very, very poor, and everything to them was expensive. So even water, even other items, even milk from a woman, other things they would not want to waste on medicine, they would therefore specifically only use water. So then water becomes 50-50. They use it to drink, they use it for medicine, and the rule is that if we use it for both, you have to go basal chumra. That's what Abaye's answer is. Rava says, no, filu teimo b'shar makomos. You can even say that it's across the board for everybody. Why? Kiddush Shmuel, like the Yeshita of Shmuel. Shmuel was a doctor. The Amar Shmuel said, kol shekaini, all liquids, masu, that if you mix them into this paste to heal you, they work, umetali, but they develop some kind of film over the eye. So yes, it'll work, it'll heal whatever's bothering you, but it's going to result in some kind of lessening of your eyesight, somehow. Lobar mimaya, except for water. Why? The masu, because it heals, velo metali, and it doesn't have that problem of creating some kind of film. So everybody would be interested. Everybody uses the water. So it's not that, I could use something else. Why should I use water? No. People go out of their way. Everybody. They go out of their way to use water because water has properties which prevent it from developing that kind of film, that pasty whatever that covers the eyes and maybe ruins the eyesight a little bit. So everybody uses water. So water is very shkiach for refuah. It's shkiach for drinking. Then we go back to the rule that if it's shkiach for both, we go l'chomer. Okay.
Is that what it means by shkiach? Because to the survey, more for drinking and more for taking this
place. Right. So I agree with you that if you took a survey, people probably use water for drinking more. That's not what shkiach means. That's not what shkiach means. What shkiach means is it a common use for water. Even though maybe if you do it by percentages, it's not going to be 50-50. Right? It's going to be a lot higher for drinking. But that's okay, as long as it's a shkiach enough that it's not so unusual that the question is, what'd you pick that shear for? Okay, the next thing the Mishnah said was v'shar kol hamashkin b'revius. Every other liquid has a din of a revius. Every other liquid is a revius. So the Gemara says Tanur Rabbanan. The Braisa says dam, right, blood, v'chol mine mashkin, and every other liquid. It also points out it's not every other liquid. It's every other liquid that the Mishnah didn't mention. It's not wine, it's not milk, it's not water. Chol mini mashkin, beruvius. Every other liquid has a din of beruvius. Rishurim ben Elazar Omer, Rishurim ben Elazar says, dam, what's the shear for dam? Kedei lochol ba'ayin ech achas. To put on a wound on the eye, on one eye. That's a very small amount. That's the shear for dam. Why? Shekain kochlin livrakis. Because they will put wine, they'll put blood on the eye to solve the problem of brachis. What's brachis? Rashi says it's some kind of mila sheboletes ba'ayin, something that's sticking out in your eye. Some I don't know. Either it's some, I don't know, some blister. Umay ninhu, and what kind of blood do they use? Doma de tarnagoles bara, the blood of a wild rooster. That blood they use to solve this problem. Rishurim begam lil omer, it's dam, the amount of dam kidei lachol bo. Ayin achas, to put on one eye, shekain kochlin li yerod, because they use this blood to prevent the problem of yerod. What's yerod? Rashi says tavlol, it's a mixture. Ubetosef the reisi lachror. So some say this means cataracts. Rashi says white spots in your eye, and the blood will get it out. Umay nihu, what kind of blood? Dama de karushtina. So it's the blood of a karushtina. What's a karushtina? So Rashi here says it's an atalef. She always turns it as a bat. So others say it's a mole, whatever it is, some kind of animal. V'simanach, and how do you know which animal goes for which problem? So the Gemara says, the simon is gava la gava, the inside for the inside, bara la bara, the outside for the outside. Meaning bats, moles, whatever, they live within Yeshuvim. They live in normal, either they live under buildings or they live in buildings. So that's called inside. And the cataracts is a problem, an internal problem in the eye. So the two of them go together. And the wild turkey, the wild rooster lives outside. Right? They're wild, they live outside. And that solves the problem of the blisters, which are outside of the eye. Not internal, they're external. So to remember which dam goes for which problem. So the Gemara says, fine. But that devar mamurim, when are all these shiurim given? But moti, if someone carries them out, avol b'matznia. But if somebody stores them away, then kol shehu chayiv. Then any amount is going to make you chayiv. And the Gemara is going to ask, but wait a minute, aren't you chayiv only if you carry? So the Gemara is going to ask that question in a minute. Rav Shimon says, "Bemedivor mamurim when were all these amounts given b'matznia? If somebody stores them away, aval b'motzi. But if you carry them, meaning this is Rav Shimon shita l'shitaso, meaning it's not a normal. You're doing something that's unusual. The average person doesn't carry them out. You go out of your way to demonstrate that you want the shear. Then you chayav for these very small shears. But b'motzi. But if somebody regular guy carries them out." You only chayav if you carry out a revius, like we said before. But umodu chachamim l'Rav Shimon, chachamim agree to Rav Shimon, b'motzi shofchin, if somebody carries out used water already, l'Rav Shisarabim, shishi'uran b'revius. But the shear is a revius, and we're going to ask now, what do you use used water for? It's already used. So Amar Mar, we just said, when are these small shi'urim said, b'motzi, by when you take them out. But if you store them away, kol shehu, then it's a kol shehu. So the Gemara says, but wait a minute. Atu matzniya lav motzihu? Doesn't a matzniya also carry them out? If you don't carry them out, you're not chayav on Shabbos. You can store them away in your house all day long on Shabbos. In order to be chayav, you have to actually go ahead and carry it out. So, what do you mean that the matzniya has a different shear? Isn't he carrying it out too? So Abaye says, yes. Hacha mayeskinan, what's going on here? It's b'talmud. You have a student, an apprentice. Sh'amalo rabo, that his master said to him, "Lech go upanali mako musuda. Go prepare for me. I want to have the meal now. So go prepare for me the suda." Halach, he went upanalo, and he cleared for him. So he cleared for him. He cleared for him space to eat his meal. So davar chashuv. If it's a davar chashuv, lakol, everybody agrees that this item that he removed from the table. To go clear it off the table. If it's a davar chashuv lakol chayav aleha, then he's going to be chayav for carrying. Davar she'ena chashuv lakol, but if it's something that's not chashuv for anybody, but this master is chashuv for him, so I atznia rabbe. If the master stored that away and said I'm being machshuv that, then mechayav aleha. Then he will make the talmud chayav. He will make the apprentice chayav for carrying it out. This is like what we had on the Mishnah. That there's one sheet of there, Sherman Lazar, that if A is machshav something, then anybody who carries it out is going to be chayav for carrying. Right? So the Rebbe, the master, is machshav one item, then even no matter who else brings it out, the Talmud brings it out, it's going to be chayav for carrying. That's what it means. It means that, of course, he carried it out. Certainly he carried it out. The Elo, and if the master did not be machshav, was not machshav that item, then lo michayav. Then the Talmud's not going to be chayav for carrying it out because it was not matzniya. Fine. Now, Amar Mar, we just said that modif chacham l'Rav Shimon, the chacham agreed to Rav Shimon, b'motzi shofchin l'rishus harabim, sheshi'uran b'revius. If you carry out used water, the shear is a revius. So shofchin l'may chazu, what can you do with water that's already been used? What's it good for? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah says, l'gabal behen es hatit. You use it to knead the clay. You're right, you can't drink this water. You can't use it for medicine. It's dirty. It's mos. But to mold the clay, to knead the clay, that's not a problem. You can use dirty water for that. So the Gemara says, wait a minute. For Tanya, we have a brisa that says, that tit, what's the shear of carrying out clay? K'delasos behen pikur. The amount that you use to make an opening for a furnace, so that you can put in the bellows to make the furnace hot. That's a very small amount of... a very small amount of clay. So mistama, the same water would be the same shear to make that clay, would be the same shear for water. If the only purpose of this water is to knead clay with it, and clay we said is a very tiny shear, right? So the water also should be a tiny shear. So would you come up with a revius? It's a very big shear. So the Gemara says, lo kasha, though that's not a problem. Ha de migval. Ha de lo migval. It depends if the clay was kneaded yet or not. If it was kneaded, you're right, it's a very tiny shear. But if it was not kneaded yet, then the shear of water is going to be a revius. Why? Lefisha ain't adam tarech l'gabal tit l'asas pikor. Nobody's carrying out water just for that one small tiny purpose of kneading clay. So you're right. He'll have to find something else to do with the water. So then the shear is going to be a revius. He'll use the water to knead the clay, and whatever leftover water he has, he'll find some other purpose for it. That ends this discussion. Fine. Now up to the Mishnah. Hamotzi chevel. If somebody carries out rope, so k'delasos ozen l'kupa. the amount of rope you have to carry out is the amount to make a handle for a basket. That amount of rope is the amount you're going to be chayav for carrying rope. Gemi, reeds, what's the shear for that? Kedei lasos taloi lenafa ulakivra. To make a hook for sieves and sifters, different things in the kitchen. You make a hook to hang them on. Rabbi Huda says, no, kedei lito mimenu midas mina lakotin. It's the amount of rope, of reed, that you will use to measure a child's foot. And then you take that size to the shoemaker, Rashi says, and you say, make me a shoe like such and such size. Nayar, paper. Kedei lichto v'alav kesher muksim. It's the amount of paper that you would need to carry out a stamp from the tax collector. It's not really a stamp, it's really two letters, Rashi explains. Two oversized letters that will say, you have paid your taxes. That is enough. That amount of paper that you can write, two large letters that are used for the kesher, for the seal of the tax collector, that is the amount of paper you're not allowed to carry out on Shabbos. The Bahamotzi kesher muksin chayiv. And if you carry out a piece of paper that has a kesher muksin on it, you're chayiv. Why is it repeated? We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that soon. Niyar machok, if it's paper that was already erased, so if it's paper that's erased, the assumption is that it can't be used anymore to write on. So they're not going to use it to write. It's all discussion in itself. But kedei lichroch al tluchis katana shel plaiton. Then the amount of paper you have to carry out is the amount of paper to wrap the small bottle of balsam oil, we had that already, that a woman would wear to make herself fragrant. That amount of paper, to wrap that up, that's the amount of paper. You can't use it to write on, because you can't write on paper that's already been erased. Or hides, leather, kedei lasos kemeya. The amount of leather to either, it's to write the kemeya on it, to machlokas, or to use the kemeya to wrap up either whatever you wrote on cloth, or let's say we had before you can make a kemeya out of herbs. So it's either to write on the kemeya or to use the kemeya to seal whatever's inside it. Okay, duchsustus kedei lichtov mezuzah, we're going to skip. Cloth, what about cloth? Kedei lichtov alav parsha katana shebetvilin. The amount of cloth that you have to write, they have to carry out it to be chayiv, is the amount of cloth it takes to write a small parsha, the smallest parsha of tefillin, shehi, which is Shema Yisrael. So Rashi says, wait a minute, if paper is enough to write two letters, so why is cloth so much bigger? Why is cloth so much bigger? You have to write the whole Shema Yisrael. Why is that bigger? So Rashi says, the id the dom of Yikarim, since it's expensive, lo avdi mine kashri muksin. Nobody's using cloth to write receipts on it from the tax collector. Nobody's doing that. Elo tefillin and mezuzos. You're only writing tefillin and mezuzos with cloth. V'lo mechayev b'shir rezuta. You're not going to be chayev with a very small shear. So what if you have a very tiny piece of cloth and it's not big enough to write any parasha on it? So won't you use it for a receipt for the tax collector? So why? So what's Rashi saying? If you have a tiny small piece of cloth, fine, I can't use it for Shema. But at least I can use it for something. So Sassemis' answer is that, I don't know if we pass it and say halacha l'maaseh, but he says what you can do is you can take small pieces of cloth, sew them together, and write tefillin. He says mezuzahs you can't do this with. You can't make small pieces and write mezuzahs. But tefillin, he says, you can. So any small piece of cloth people are going to save. So it has no chashivas if it's so small, because it's never going to be used for tax collector. It's only going to be used for tefillin, and therefore Rashi says that since it's so expensive, nobody's touching this stuff. So therefore that's why cloth is different than paper. So why does the Mishnah have to say that the parsha of tefillin, which is Shema, don't I know it's the smallest parsha? So first of all, Tosva says, not here, he says it in Sota, the smallest parsha in the Torah that people will Our match of a specific parasha is the parasha of Sota. So why didn't the Mishnah say that if you carry out a parasha of Sota? Right? Tosafot asked that question in Sota. And the answer is, first of all, by the time the Mishnah was written, there was no more Sota. So people are not carrying around a parasha of Sota. Not happening. Let's run to the Beit HaMikdash and do the parasha of Sota. Wasn't happening. Also, second of all, he also answers, if you go back to, even if it was applicable, you go back to Shchiach and Lo Shchiach. Shema was still more Shchiach. So Shema is more Shchiach, we follow the rule of Shema. The Magolos Hayam says, unbelievable, he says that the words of Sota are less. But the letters of Shema are less. And if you count up the letters of Shema, it is smaller. So Shema is really the smallest parsha. Very, very cute. Now, so why did it have to tell me that it's the parasha Ketana Shebet Tefillin? So Tosfos Yonta says, because you might think that we have a Gemara that says that Tefillin, if you have one parasha of Tefillin without the other parashios, that it's Ma'akev. That's not a kosher Tefillin. Well, I'm Mekayim one quarter of Tefillin. No, you don't say that. You're not Mekayim Tefillin. It's not Tefillin. You have to have all four. So I would think that, like, there's no Hechitimsi of having one parasha of Tefillin, because no one's having that. So Kamash Bolan, people used to carry parsha of Shema. First of all, we say Kriya Shema Lamita with this parsha. And it was common for people to carry around such a parsha. The reason why it says Parsha Ketana Shebet Tefillin, to let you know that you need more than this to make up Tefillin, but this was part of the Tefillin. And that's why it has all this weight. Tomorrow we're going to get into a whole discussion about Mezuzah and Sefer Torah and Tefillin. That's all tomorrow. That's what this line is missing. That's why this line we skipped. Duchsustas is cloth. We skipped it because it doesn't really apply here. It applies later on. Anyway, Dio, how much ink do you have to carry out? Kedei lichtov beis osios. Enough ink to write two letters. Kechol, eye makeup. How much eye makeup you have to carry out? Kedei lichol ayin achas. To paint one eye. The Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean to paint one eye? Nobody, the women don't go out like that. So why only one eye? We're going to have that. Devet, glue. Kedei litein berosh hashafshef. The amount of glue you chayev that if you put on the head of a board, we're going to have what that means exactly. Zefetz v'gofris, pitch and tar, it's k'delasos nekev, to make a small hole. Rashi says, kli shenostin bo kesef chai. If you have a kli and you put in a kesef chai is mercury, live silver. Rashi calls kesef chai, it's mercury. So you have mercury in there, and then you want to make a small hole, Rashi says, to allow you to get it out without it spilling. So you have a small hole to let it out without it spilling, and then you have, then you seal it up with zephes and gophers. Shaiva, wax, how much wax do you have to carry out? Kedelitin alpi nekev, cotton. The amount that you will use to seal a small hole. Rashi says, this is for a barrel. You want to let the wine in and out. So you have a plug, so you plug up the barrel, you open up the barrel, you back and forth. Charsis, bricks, crushed bricks, Rashi says. How much crushed bricks you have to carry out? Kedelasos pikur shel tzorfei zahav. The amount that you would have to use for the kiln, for the fire, for the furnace, where they would melt the gold. Rashi says that, Rabbi Huda Omer kedelasos pitput. The amount that you would have to use for the tripod, where you put the pot, where you burn the gold, where you smelt down the gold. So Rashi says that, whatever amount of shear that is, either for the, for the bricks itself, or to make the tripod, whatever. Suvan, how much bran? Kedelitin al pi kur shel torfei zahav. The amount that you would put underneath the pot where they're melting down the gold. So Rashi says if somebody didn't have coal, they would use bran. They would use that instead. So whatever amount that is, that's the amount you're chayav for carrying out. Sid, lime. How much lime you have to carry? Kedelosod kitana sheb bibanos. The amount that you'd put on for a young girl. So, Rabbi Huda Omer, Kedei Lasos Kilkel, the amount that you'd put on the forehead, and Rabbi Chemia Omer, Kedei Lasod Undafi. I'm sorry, Kilkel is the temples. The amount that you'd put on the temples to mat the hair down. Rabbi Chemia Omer, Kedei Lasod Undafi, the amount you'd put on the forehead. Rashi says that all three are talking about cases where you're trying to get rid of, remove hair for the girl. Trying to remove hair in different places. You can't put it all on one part of the body at one time, because it's too dangerous, it hurts too much. So they do it little by little. So the question is, which part of the body? Okay. Right, it could be medayin, they're not moksa. Could be. Okay. Chevel, rope. So the Gemara says, Chevel nami l'chayev kedei lasos taloy l'nafo l'kivra. Shouldn't we say that rope should also be chayev for the amount of making it into a hook? We said that reeds, you can make a hook to hang the kitchen utensils. So what about rope, which is a smaller shear to make a hook, as opposed to making it a handle? So the Gemara answers, no. Kivan decharik b'mana, since it'll eat into the kli, because the ropes are very, very hard. They're hard rope. So it's going to eat into the kli and ruin the kli. Lo of the inchi. Nobody does that. Nobody makes the hooks out of this material. Tana Rabbanan, we said hutin. Hutin, what's hutin? Hutin are lulavim, Rashi says, to lulave dekel, the palms of the lulav, Kedelasos ozen lasal. Again, it's enough to make a basket, to the handle for a basket of kefifa mitzvahs, that's made out of other parts of the dekel, tree. And siv, Rashi says, siv is some kind of growth that grows around the dekel tree. That's why it's called siv, from the word saviv. It surrounds the dekel tree. How much is that? Acherim omer, acherim say, kedelitein al pi mashach katan. It's the amount that you put on a small funnel, lasanin esayayin, to strain the wine. So this is like grass, like reeds that you put on the funnel. When you turn it over, the sediment stays back and the wine comes through. Revav. What's revav? Rashi says it's either shuman or shemen. So some kind of fat. Some kind of animal fat. Kedelosuch tachas aspagin ketana. It's the amount that you will smear on a small cake. It's the amount that you smear on a small cake. Tosfos asks, how can you smear fat on cake? We hold that you're not allowed to make, so it's animal fat. We hold that you're not allowed to make bread you're not allowed to make bread fleishes. You're not allowed to use animal fat and make it into bread. Here it's even cake. It's not even bread. You're not allowed to do that. Why? Because nobody's going to know that it's fleishes, because it looks like regular bread, regular cake. So you're going to eat it. You're going to have problems of... Before you cook it. Smear it on the cake before you put it in the oven. So how could you do that? You're not allowed to. It's gonna be a huge kilkel. People don't know nobody has fleishes bread. So Tosa says, well, the Gemara discusses that, and if you make it look different, like a triangle, let's say, you make it look different, then, oh, what's that? Why does that look so funny? Oh, that's fleishes, and everyone's gonna know. It'll become lachal amaisa ramifications, whether you can make bread. Same problem with milchis. It's a whole discussion about that. I'm not gonna go into that. But Tosas raises that in the second Tosas, tachas. The kama shiureha, how much, what's the size of this cake? It's kisela, the size of a coin. I have a tiny, but we learned elsewhere, it's kigrogros, it's the size of a grogros. So the Gemara answers, I di chad shiurhu, it's all one shiur. So it's the same size. Who, shiurhu, fine. Muchin, what about muchin? Muchin is cotton or different kind of fibers. How much of that you have to carry out? Kedelasos kadur kitana. The amount you have to carry out to make it into a small ball. The common, how much is that? Shiura ke ego. It's the size of an ego. It's very interesting. Rashi by kadur. Rashi says paleto, which in Spanish is a ball. I thought that was interesting. Sometimes it doesn't always stick to French. In high life, isn't the paleto is a ball, because they use the ball. It's a small little ball. Okay, ne'ar kedei lichtov olav kesher mochsin. The paper, if you write on the paper, it's enough to how much paper you have to write on, the amount of a receipt from the tax collector. Tana, kama kesher mochsin. How much is that? What's the size of that receipt? It's shtei osios, two large letters. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, for a minhu, but I'll ask you a steer on that, because it says, hamotzi ne'ar chaluk. If somebody takes out plain paper, in Yeshbo Kedei Lichtov Shtei Osios Chayev. If there's enough to write two letters, you're Chayev. V'yimla, then if not, Potter. You're Potter. So it doesn't say anything about large letters. It just says two letters. So Amr of Shesha. The Shesha says, my Shtei Osios. What does it mean, two letters? Shtei Osios Shal Kesher Mochsen. It means two large letters like you use for the receipts. Rava Amr, Rava says, no, Shtei Osios Didon. It's two normal letters. So why is it a different shear if it's two normal letters or two large letters? Because Rava says ubeis achiza, and you have to add on a place to hold the paper. The hainu kesher mochsin, that will be the same size as two large letters. Two large letters without a place to hold it is the same size as two regular letters with a place to hold it. Why don't you need to hold the kesher mochsin? So Rashi says, because all you got to do is show it. So you have it in your palm, and when you pass by the toll, or the pass by the tax collector, you just show, look, I got the receipt, and they let you go. But if it's stama, a piece of paper with two letters, you have to hold it somewhere. So the extra space of where you're holding it, that's what Rava says. So it's really the same size. So now we're going to have a question on Rava, we're not going to have an answer. Meisvei, but we have a brisa that says, Hamotzi Nayar Machuk, if somebody carries out a piece of paper that's or been erased already. So we said again that if it's been erased already, you can't write on that. Ushtar perua, or shtar regarding a loan that's already been paid. So that piece of paper is worthless. Im yesh beluban shalal, if in the white part, meaning if in the margin, the margins of this paper, yesh kidei lichtov shteyosios, you have space to write two letters, oh, bekulo, kidei lichrach, al pi tzluchas katana shel plaiton, or it's big enough, like we said in the Mishnah, if it's a wraith, it's big enough to use it to cover a jar of oil, then you're chayev. V'yam lav, and if it's not big enough to do that, putter. You're putter. So bish lomalur of sheshes, this makes sense, according to Rav Sheshes. The Amar, who said, my shteyosios, what does two letters mean? Shteyosios shel kesher muchzin, it's two letters for the receipt, for the tax collector, shopper. So it makes sense. So if I have a spot on this shtachov, or this erased paper, to write two large letters, excellent. El Rava, but according to Rava, the Amar, who said, shteyosios didon, it's two normal sized letters, ubeis achiza, and it has to have a spot to hold on to it, the hainu kesher muchzin, that's the same size as a kesher muchzin, so hacha, beis achiza lo tzarech. You don't need a place to hold on to it here. Why not? Because hold on to it in the spot that's no longer usable. Hold on to it in the part of the shtachov already. So Rava makes no sense. Why do you have to tell me that if it's two normal letters, then it should be a smaller size? Because you already have a beis achiza. Hold it on the erased part. Hold it on the part that's already been written. So how's Rava does it? It's not consistent. So the Gemara says, you're right, kasha, that's a kasha. That's a kasha on Rava. Fine. Now, Tadar Rabbanan, Hamotzi Kesher Muchsin, if somebody carries out the receipt for the tax collector, Ad Shelo Harehu Lamoches, if he has never shown it to the tax collector, then Chayev, then he's Chayev for carrying it out. But, Bishaharehu Lameches, once he's already shown it to the tax collector, then Potter, he's Potter. Why? Because the tax collector knows that he's already paid, so that it no longer serves any purpose. So it's worthless. How many times do you have to show it to the tax collector? He saw already you paid. So it's worthless. So once you showed it to him already, you no longer chayv if you carry it out, because it no longer has any chashivas. Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Huda says, no. Af mi sheheru lomochis chayv. Even if you showed it to him once, you still chayv. Why? Because you still need it. Fine. So the Gemara says, my benayhu. My benayhu doesn't here mean, what's the difference between them like it normally means? It means, what's the svara behind these two shitas? Why does Ibn Huda say you still have to need it? And why does the Tanakh say you no longer need it? So we're going to have a few answers. Amar Abaya says, Iki benayhu. You know what they're holding? The difference between them is, the shitas are, Rihati Mikhsa, the investigators of the tax collector. That's what it is. In other words, tax collector sitting by the bridge waiting for people to cross over the toll. He saw you already. But when they're bored, or when they want to bother people, they send out investigators to check who didn't pay. So the machlokas is, do you have to be choshesh for this? So the Tanakhama says, it's not a big deal. Don't have to keep the receipt. Why? Because if the tax collector, this is going to be the same thing for Rava. Rava Omar, Mechaz Godol, Mechaz Katan. Rava says, it depends if it's the supervisor, or if it's somebody, or one of the underlings. Either way. So it's the same, it's really the same thing. So you're scared, according to the Tanakhama, if they come to you and they say, you didn't pay, you'll say, yes, I did. You'll have to go now down to the supervisor, and the supervisor will remember you, and he'll say, yeah, leave this guy alone, he already paid. But Yehuda says, you don't want to be bothered with all that, so just hold on to it. When the underling comes, when the investigator comes, just show it to him. So according to the Yehuda, it still has chashivas, it still serves a purpose, and according to the Tanakhama, it doesn't, because it's only a tircha to fix up the situation. And then Rashi says that or it could be that the supervisor, when you pay, he'll give you the password. Rashi says, I'll give you the siman dvarim. He'll give you the siman in words. So that when you see, you don't have to carry the thing anymore. You paid already. And then whenever you come on the bridge and the supervisor's not there, the underling will know the password and then he'll let you go. So you don't have to carry it. Rabbi says, no, when I chosesh for all that, you hold on to it, so you never run into problems. That's Ikka B'nai, that's the difference. Rashi, a third sheet, Rashi Omer, Rashi says, no, Chad Mechatz Ikka B'nayu. This is one tax collector. You don't have to say there's two different ones. So why are you holding on to it? Mipnei Shetzarech L'Laharos L'Mochesh Sheni. Because you want to show it to a different city, a different tax collector. For what reason? The Omer Lei, Chazi Gavru D'Mochesh Ana. Look, I'm a man who pays my taxes. Look what I have. I have the tax collector's receipt from the other city. So trust me over here, I'm going to pay. Right? I'm an honest man. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a valid reason why the tax receipt is still considered chashuv, and according to the Tanakhama, it's not. That's the difference. So according to the Tanakhama, once you pay, it no longer has any function, therefore you're not chayav because it's not chashuv. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it still is. Okay, next piece of Gemara is very difficult. Right, but once you paid, it loses its chashivas. Right? Once you paid, it loses its chashivas. And therefore it's no longer worth anything. I have this ongoing question about foreign money muksa. I never had, especially like this old Israeli money, it's worthless, like one of those old 100 shekel coins, like 10,000 of that's like one penny. So is that worthless? Is that chashiv? I always had that question. It's a similar idea. Once you pay, you're free. You're home free. So it serves no purpose. So therefore, since it serves no purpose, it's not chashuv. Right, so I don't know how long you have to hold on to it. Like 100 years, 25, 30 years, the tax consists, they change over. I don't know. But right now, he says it still serves a purpose. Either because you're not gonna have to be hailed down to the main guy, to the main office, to explain yourself. Or because you want to always show everyone that you're an honest man, you pay your taxes. Either way.
But the tax receipt we use as an example, what's the size of paper that
right.
people consider hard? Now we're getting the degree of all.
Oh, so that goes all back to why the Mishnah says it a second time. The Mishnah says a second time, how much paper? The size of a meches. And a meches is chayef too. Right? That's what the Mishnah said. V'amotzi kesher muksin chayef. That's something, that's why it's repeated. Because it's a special thing. Others say it's repeated to tell you that it doesn't have to have a beis achiza, because you don't carry it in your hand like a normal piece of paper. You just have it in your palm just to show everybody. Okay. Next, Tana Rabbanan. We looked at a brisa. Hamotzi shtar chov. Somebody carries out a shtar chov. Shtar chov is an I paid back, right? A loan document. So if it's a loan document, so ad shelo pero, if it was still not paid back, then chayiv. Then you chayiv. Why? Because it's worth a lot. It's worth whatever's on that paper, it's worth. Misha paru, once it's been paid back, potter. You're potter. Why? Because once it's paid back, what's it worth? Rabbi Yehuda Omer, no. Af misha paru chayiv. Even if you paid it back, you're still chayiv if you carry it out. Why? Mipnei shetzaruch lo. Because you still need it. We're going to get to that now. So, my benayhu. What is the underlying reason why they're arguing with each other? Why does the Tanakhama say that if it's paid back, it's worthless? And why does Rabbi Yehuda say if it's paid back, it is not worthless? So all the answers are going to have to do all with Baba Metzia. Amar of Yosef, Rav Yosef says, Osir Lishos Shtar Perua Ika Benayhu. The machlokas between them is, it's a machlokas in Baba Metzia, or some Baba Basra, are you allowed to keep in your possession a shtar that's already been paid back? So it's a machlokas. Some say you're not allowed to. Why? Because you've already collected on the shtar. So what are you doing with it? I'm talking about, let's say, the lender. The lender already collected on the shtar. So what's he doing with it? The quote of Pasuk in Eov, that don't keep evil in your house. All it's going to do is give you a tithe to collect it again. So don't keep it. So get rid of it. So you're not allowed to keep it in your house. And the borrower also, we don't want him keeping it because we don't want him losing it. Someone will find it in the street, will return it to the lender, and they'll collect again. So it's us to have such a thing. If it's us to have such a thing, it's worthless. Right? If it's worthless, you're not chayav to carry it. That's the Tanakhama Shita. Rabbanan Savri, Asur Lishos Shtar Perua. You're not allowed to have such an item in your house. So if you're not allowed to have it, it's not worth anything. And therefore, you're potter if you carry it out, if it's paid back. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mutu Lishos Shtar Perua. You're allowed to have it in your house. And Rashi explains, what are you doing with it? You're using it to cover a jug, a bottle of perfume. But you're allowed to keep it. Since you're allowed to keep it, you can find the chash of a purpose for it. Therefore, you're going to be chayiv. That's Rabbi Yehuda. That's shita number one. Abaye Amar. Abaye says no. The Kulei Alma, everybody agrees, Asur Lishos Shtar Perua. It's Asur. Everyone holds you're not allowed to have such a thing in your house. V'hacha, but over here it's a different issue. V'hacha, what are they arguing in? B'mode b'shtar shekosvo tzarech l'kaimo kumiflagi. So arbit in the halacha, it's an unrelated halacha in Hilchah Shabbos. It's a halacha in halachas of lending money. If a guy denies, if a guy admits that the shtar is true, do you have to substantiate the shtar? What's going on here is, let's say the lender says to the borrower, I have a shtar over here that you owe me $100. And the lender says, I never borrowed money from you. So if he denies that this shtar is existing, he claims it's a forgery, the lender now has to substantiate the shtar, bring the edim down, or bring people that can recognize the signatures of the edim, and prove that this is a genuine shtar, and the guy really owes the money. That's clear. But what if the guy said, yeah, that's a valid shtar, but I paid you back. So he substantiates it by himself, and then in the same breath, he denies he owes the money. So it's a machlokas in that case, whether the lender has to substantiate the shtar. Some say that it's the issue of a pesha osir pesha hitter. The guy himself admits it's a valid shtar, and then he admits that he doesn't have to pay it, because I paid it already. So by virtue of him saying that, the lender now has to go ahead and substantiate it. According to other man the Amrim, once the guy admits that it's a valid shtar, then even if he says he paid it back, we don't believe him. By virtue of the fact that he admits that the shtar is genuine, he has to pay the money now. So according to the Tanakhama, he holds the first way. He holds that if a guy admits it's a genuine shtar, but all he does is deny that he owes the money, right? I paid it already. So therefore, this shtar has to be substantiated. We're talking about a case Rashi explains where for whatever reason it cannot be substantiated. The Edom are gone. We don't know who they are. So this is worthless. It's not worth anything. Why? He's never going to be able to collect on it. Because the guy says, I paid it already. So he's never going to be able to collect because he can't substantiate it. He can't bring the Edom to prove it's true. So he's off the hook, the lender, the borrower. The borrower doesn't have to pay the money. If the borrower doesn't have to pay the money, then it's not worth anything. It's not worth 2 cents. Right? Because he can't collect on it. The Gemara is going to ask that question. But the words don't make any sense. The Gemara is going to ask that. But that's the Gemara is going to... Okay, we'll see in a minute what the Gemara is going to answer. So hold that question. Right, that's the answer. The answer is claiming. That's the Gemara is going to answer. You have to fit it into the words. The words don't fit that way. That's the Gemara is going to answer. But since he can't substantiate the shtar, it's not worth anything. Therefore, you're allowed to carry it out on Shabbos. According to Yehuda, no. Once he admitted, hey, I paid this back. Right? I'm sorry. Once he admits, hey, this is a valid shtar, but I paid it back. The minute he admits it's a valid shtar, you owe the money. Therefore, the shtar is worth a lot. It's worth whatever the value of the money, of the loan is. And therefore, according to Yehuda, you're going to be chayav. That's the machlokas here. Because it's a whole sugi over there. Since he admits it's valid, but he says, I paid it back. What do you want from me? So go bring the Edom. So go bring the Edom. Right, you bring Edom and he'll have to pay. He's a lawyer. 100%. You can't bring the Edom, and we believe him. Why? Well, we'll get to that. No, either Edom that he didn't pay, either one.
They used the same
Edom
that he paid him.
Probably not. But it doesn't make a difference. Go get the Edom. So Rashi said, we're talking about a case where he can't. He can't. He can't prove it. He's stuck. So he's stuck, so he can't prove it. He has no way out. Satana kama savar. Mode bishtar shekosvo. That if he admits to the shtar being valid, but he says it's not a forgery. No, I did borrow the money, but I paid it back. Then therefore the guy has to substantiate it. Since he can't, it's not worth anything. Rabbi Huda says no. Milva b'shtar shekosvu ein tzarich l'kaimo. The guy doesn't have to substantiate it. By the virtue of the fact that he admits it's authentic, he owes the money. He says he paid back. We don't believe him. So therefore he does have to pay. And therefore, since he does have to pay, it's a shtar is worth a lot. Umay, what does it mean? Ad shelo pero, umisha pero. What does it mean? He paid back, and if he didn't pay back, Mati's question. So the Gemara says, no, ad shiyom alove. It means till he says parati, I paid you, or lo parati, I didn't pay you. Meaning either I did or I didn't. Not that he definitely did, but it's his claim. Meaning we're sticking in the words of he claims. We're sticking in those words. He claims he paid, and he claims he didn't pay. A little bit of a dope of terrors. So Rava comes along, Rava says no. The Kuli Alma, everyone agrees, Moda Mishtar Shekosvo, Tzarech L'Kaimo. Everyone agrees that you have to authenticate it. And Rashi says, the words are mamish. The words of the price are mamish. Either he paid or he didn't pay. The Hachan over here, the Kosvin Shover Kamiflagi. We're talking about a case where if a guy is required to write a receipt. Some say, again, this is another machlokas in Bava Metzia. Do we require the lender to write a receipt to the borrower? Or do we say to the borrower, give me back my shtar. Give it back to me, and I'll throw it out. Or we can say, no, let him write a receipt. You know what, let's stop here, we'll pick this up again tomorrow. So we did the first two answers, and there's two more answers. One's about a receipt, and one's about a guy who wants to hold on to it because he wants to say he's an honest man. Look, I always pay back my debts, and that's why he has it. So those are the two cases. We'll do it tomorrow. Today's shiur was learned Le'ila Nishmas, Moshe Eliezer ben Binyamin HaKohen.